If you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the different gospel records, you see time and time again, as Christ spoke to people, he did not call them to be pastors of the first church in Jerusalem or to go and to plant churches throughout Asia or Europe, or he did not call people to be missionaries. He simply, time after time, says, "Follow me." And it's not just a one-time choice, but it's a daily, throughout the rest of our life, following and desiring to know more about Christ. And so this evening, I just want us to talk briefly about something that the Lord worked in my heart, and I want to encourage each and every one of us, if we know Jesus Christ, are we doing what He saved us to do, and that is to follow Him. And if you look in Luke chapter 6, or 5, I'm sorry, verse number 27, it says, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me." Christ comes to this man named Levi, or Matthew as we know it, and he was a tax collector, not a very well-liked man because of his profession. He was definitely not liked by his brothers and sisters, the Jewish people. But that was what he chose to do. And Christ comes up to him, and he simply says two words to him. He says, "Follow me." And today, each and every one of us, Christ is calling out to every one of us. And he's simply saying to us, "Follow me." And if we have been saved, if we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we have a purpose for life. You see, I grew up thinking that the reason Jesus Christ died on the cross and that He forgave me of my sins was so that I could go to heaven. He died for me so that I could have eternal life. And I heard that time after time, even just in my own mind, I would tell myself that. But if you read Scripture, you see that there's such a greater purpose for why Jesus Christ died. And that was to bring honor and glory to the Father. And that was to show us that our entire life, our entire purpose, was for His name's sake, not for our sakes. In the book of 1 John, the Apostle John writes, he says, "Little children, your sins are forgiven for His name's sake." He doesn't say our sins are forgiven for our name's sake. And when you have that understanding, you understand that our life has a whole different meaning. If we were just saved to go to heaven, the moment we trusted Christ, we would have died and gone to heaven. Because there's no purpose for us, if that was the only purpose. But each and every one of us are still alive right now. And what is that reason? It's to follow Christ, and it's to live in a way that brings honor and glory to the Father. That's the whole purpose for us being, whether that's going and telling people about the gospel, whether that's working as a businessman, a teacher, doing whatever you may do here in the city of Jupiter. If you are not following Christ, you're not being a true disciple and a true Christian. And the first thing that he says is simple as this: follow me. There was John the Baptist was preaching at the time. There was disciples that were already following Jesus Christ. There was men after the ages that we've seen who have rose up, people who have had great influence, and they've had many followers. And Christ simply says to Matthew, he says, "Follow me." Don't look at anyone else around you. Don't worry about what the other disciples are doing. He says, "Follow me." If you look at the Peter, at the beginning of his ministry, in the first few chapters of Matthew, when Christ meets Peter, he simply says, "Follow me." At the end of John, at the end of Christ's earthly ministry, Peter's concerned about what John's going to do. And Jesus Christ says to him, "What does that matter to you? Follow me." And so from the beginning to the end of our lives, we're supposed to be doing one thing, and that's following Jesus Christ. Whatever area of life we may be doing, whatever we're doing, it has to be following Christ. If we're not living in a way that has completely given our life to Christ, if we're not truly and completely following Christ, then we're not truly living. We're just simply existing. And until we get to the point where we realize that our life is for such a greater purpose, for such a greater things than what we can understand, it's to live in a way that brings honor and glory to God, whatever you are doing, then you are not truly living. See, God, the Bible doesn't even say the word missionary, so I don't believe that Christ calls us from the Word of God to be missionaries. I believe He calls us to simply follow Him. And if we choose the profession of a missionary, that's great. But Christ also calls teachers and businessmen and accountants, and police officers, and every single person, no matter what you are, whether you're a student, whether you're in elementary school or college, if you know Jesus Christ, He has called you to follow Him. And if you're whatever field or whatever area of life you're in, you are not being obedient to Christ until you are following Him. And if we follow Christ, we'll do the things that He did. And He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to be obedient to the Father's will. He came to be obedient even unto death. And the Word of God says, time after time, when we follow cross, there's one thing we must do, and that is take up our cross. Or when we follow Jesus Christ, we must take up our cross. And Christ was obedient unto death, and if we are going to be true followers of Christ, we too must be obedient unto death. And that is death to self. Death to what David Royal desires, to what David Royal wants to do, and simply saying, not my will, but thy will. And taking up our cross. See, the cross is a symbol of death. We wear it around our chains and we think it's a beautiful picture. But in that day and age, the cross was not a beautiful thing. To us, it's a beautiful thing because without the cross, we would not have life. But during that day and age, it was a horrible symbol of death and agony and suffering. And when Christ told His followers to take up their cross, He was literally saying, take up your cross and die. Because you cannot follow Me until you are dead to self. And when He reached Matthew at the seat of customs, He said, take up your cross. He didn't say it here, but He says, follow Me. And we see the first thing that we are to do is to follow Christ. But notice, next He says, or Matthew, what His actions are. In verse 28 it says, and He left all. If we are going to be true followers of Christ, we must leave everything of our past life. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, there's no hanging on to parts of the world and hanging on to Christ and trying to live for both. When I was in Nepal, Hinduism's the number one religion. It's over 80%. Over 30 million people and over 80% of the country is Hindu. And their religion and their culture are just one and the same. And it's one of the reasons that it takes months and years of working with people to see them finally come to Christ. And we went over there and we were very discouraged that we were not seeing souls saved like what you can see if you go on a mission trip to Africa or different parts of the world. And we weren't seeing that. And we spoke with several missionaries and several national pastors, and they said, the work here takes a lot longer than just a few weeks and a few months. And one of the reasons is that, for one thing, the people truly count the cost, which is what Scripture says we should do. But their religion and their culture is one and the same, that if they accept Christ and reject Hinduism, they're rejecting their lifestyle. They're rejecting their culture, everything that they've ever known. They're rejecting their families. But we cannot be followers of Christ if we are still being followers of the world. Until we leave everything behind, we cannot be followers of Christ. And for the longest time, I thought that it was, I could perhaps live and I'm dragging a few things of the world and I'm trying to hold on to Christ and I'm a little bit behind Him, but I'm still following Him. But the thing is, we have the wrong mindset because the way of Christ and the way of the world are completely opposite directions. And if you're following Christ, you're not even going in the same direction of the world. So you cannot be holding on to the things of the world. But if you're still holding on to the things of the world, you're not following Christ. You're simply living for yourself. And you may say it in name, and you may even have your mind convinced that you're doing what is right, and you're following Christ, and you're being a good Christian. But if you have not left all, if you have not forsaken everything, the Word of God says you cannot be Christ's disciple. And we are not truly following Christ till we have left all. And that was one of the things that greatly convicted me because I saw it so real in the lives of the believers over there. They've suffered. They've been persecuted. Every Christian that we spoke to, when we asked for their testimony, we always asked, and almost I felt dumb asking me after a few times, but I'd ask, have you ever faced any persecution? And it was almost like we asked a dumb question. I said, of course we have. Without fail every time. Just a few years ago, the churches were underground. Pastor UJ had been arrested at one time. Many missionaries had been kicked out. Believers have been kicked out of their villages, beaten by their family members. They faced persecution, and they've understood that if they're going to be followers of Christ, they cannot live halfway in their old world, halfway in the old man, and halfway in the new man. But they understand one thing. Christ is worth it. He's worth completely following. He's worth giving their entire lives to. And that is what each and every one of us must do. If we're going to follow Christ, we must leave all. Everything that has once held us back, everything that we once loved, the flesh loved and was appealing to the flesh, we must leave all of that. And we must follow Christ. And that's something that I struggle with so often. And when I ask myself, why aren't I growing? Why aren't I doing what I ought to be doing? It's because I went back and I grabbed a few things from the past and I tried to hold on to them and put them in my pockets. And I thought that I was following Christ again, but I wasn't even moving. I wasn't even advancing. Hudson Taylor said, God is always advancing. And if God is always advancing, we as believers must always be going forward. We must always be seeking to see God glorified in a greater way, to see souls be saved. But if you're holding on to the things of the world, you cannot go forward. You cannot follow Christ. And we see Matthew, first of all, he heard the command to follow Christ. He left all, and then he rose up. says that he was sitting at the receipt of customs. This was a place where much traffic would come through. They would position it in an area where people would come through with their goods and things that they would have to pay taxes on. He sat in an area where many people would come by and many people would see him. And at this time in Jesus' life, he had much fame. He was already a very famous person. If we read at the beginning of the chapter, great multitudes pressed against him, and he had to go out on a boat to speak. And he had already done some amazing things, and his name had already become pretty famous in his areas that he was. And so if anyone was with Jesus Christ, they knew that they were a follower of Christ. And when he spoke to Matthew, he said, "Follow me." Notice it says that he left all and he rose up. He was sitting, perhaps there was 5, 10, hundreds of people around, and they all saw Jesus speak to Matthew, and you can imagine they asked, "What's he going to do? Is he going to follow Christ, or is he going to continue in his life?" And it literally says, he rose up, he stood to where everyone else saw him, and he no longer sat at that receipt of customs. He lived his life sitting at the feet of Jesus. And he followed him day after day after day. And he continued on, even though things got difficult, he continued to follow. And everyone else around him, they saw it. And I can guarantee you one thing, that if you're truly following Jesus Christ, people will see it. People will notice there's something different about you. You see me right now, I'm dressed very strangely. I was at a vacation Bible school last week, and a lot of the little kids thought I had a dress on or a skirt, and they all made fun of me. It was very humbling. But I look different. And if I stood up, if I was sitting in the church and I stood up, immediately every one of you would recognize there's something different about me, simply by the way I'm dressed. And I can guarantee you, if you're following Jesus Christ, you will stick out, and people will notice it. And people will see the way you speak, the way you act, the way you live, what your desires are. It's in a way that people see, not you, but Christ. Because when they saw Matthew following, they saw who he was following. They saw Jesus Christ. And I can promise you that if you take a stand and you begin to follow Jesus Christ, whatever you may do for the rest of your life, if you do it in a way that's being obedient and following Christ, people will notice it. And that's not always a good thing for us, but it's always a good thing for the Father. Because if you notice, immediately he showed action. If we're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ, there will be fruit, there will be action from our life. And it says in the very next verse of 29, "And Levi made him a great feast in his own house." He called this great feast, called everyone to his own house. He said, "I don't care what any of my neighbors think. I don't care what the Pharisees think. I want Jesus Christ in my house, and I want anyone else who wants to come to hear about what he has to say." And if you notice immediately when he had this great company, in verse 30 it says, "But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples." And Christ has promised us in his word that if we are followers of him, we will face difficulties. We will suffer for his name's sake. It's guaranteed in his word. And I can promise you that if you were a true follower of Jesus Christ, if you were truly living day in and day out following him, then people will notice it, but it may not always be in the way that you want them to notice it. You may face difficulties. You may face sufferings. You may face hardships. But it's interesting that Christ in his word has said that he has already suffered for us, and he suffered as us. And when we go through those sufferings, as the book of Philippians says, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And you will not go through those things alone. You will not go through those difficulties and hardships. And as we spoke with these Nepalese believers who had faced some very difficult times, they had such joy because they knew Christ was with them and that he was worth it. And that they had been rejected by their families. They had been rejected by their loved ones. We hiked about 3 hours to a house that was on the other side of the valley. We had to go down the mountain, through a valley, and back up another mountain. Over 3 hours to reach one believer who hikes that far every Saturday. They have church on Saturday because of their work week. Hikes that far every Saturday to go to church. And I struggle sometimes to drive 10, 15 minutes. And she hikes that far down the hill. I mean, she's an elderly lady. She's not young. And she hikes that far. But she had not been to church in almost, I think, 7 months. And so we went to check on her to see how she was doing. We wanted to make sure everything was okay. And when we got there, her husband, we found out, is a Hindu. And he stopped allowing her to go to church. He was part of once the Maoist group movement, which was a communist extremist group that has caused and continues to cause problems in that country. But he was a strict, devout Hindu. And he has stopped allowing his wife to go, and he's become very abusive in his words and the way he treats her. And we went there, and one of our Nepali friends was able to get him outside and witness to him for about an hour and a half. And we had a house fellowship inside. We sang some hymns that we have learned in Nepali. and we presented her with a Bible. She didn't have a Bible in her own language, and we just gave her a devotional thought, and we tried encouraging her. And she said something with tears in her eyes. She said, though my husband will not allow me to go to church, and though he may mistreat me, I'm willing to eventually forsake my husband, but I will never forsake Christ. And no matter what her husband was going to do to her, she said, I will never forsake my Savior. Because she saw him, she knew him for who he was and what he has done in her life. She said, I'm willing to follow him no matter what. And it convicted me greatly. And it broke my heart at the same time. And I asked myself, am I willing to follow Christ to that far? To be rejected by the ones that I love? To be rejected by those that I care about? But am I still willing to follow Christ, although no one else around me may? And I want to encourage each and every one of us this evening. Are we following Christ? We cannot follow Him until we have left all, until we have let go of the things of the world, and we have fixed our eyes completely on Jesus Christ, until we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, it's a very sad thing. There's many believers who stop following. It's not a one-time decision. It's not a two- or three-time decision, as I said. It's from the moment we trust Christ, or the moment we decide that we're going to follow Him with all our life, till the moment we die. Every day we must decide to follow Him. In the book of John, chapter 6, Christ was speaking, and He said something that the Word of God was said was very difficult for the disciples to hear with their ears. It was very difficult for them to understand. And after they heard these things, in verse 66 of John chapter 6, it says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And one of the saddest things in a believer's life is when a believer stops following Jesus Christ. Because when they stop following Jesus Christ, they literally stop following, they stop living for the purpose they were saved. And that was to follow Him, to be obedient, to bring honor and glory. But when we turn back and we stop following Him, we stop living. We stop living for the reason that Christ saved us to live. And we simply exist. We're simply there. We have no purpose. And I spoke to a man on the airplane from Belgium on the way back from Nepal. And we began to speak about things of the gospel. And he said he grew up in a Catholic family and he didn't believe in anything anymore. And I asked him, I said, well, what's the purpose to your life then? And he said, I have no purpose. I don't believe there is a purpose in life. And I honestly don't know if I fully believe that he fully believes that. Because if he did, I don't think he would even be alive. Because if we have no purpose for living, then what's the point? And people give themselves to so many things in this world. And honestly, they may be purposes to them, but in the eyes of Christ, in the eyes of eternity, and in the view of eternity, they have no purpose. And until we fully and completely follow Christ, we honestly have no purpose other than to follow Him, to bring honor and glory to His name. But there will be some action that must come from us following Christ. There will be some difficulties that we may face. People will definitely see us, and we'll stand out. But when we stand out, as Paul said time after time, people won't just see us, they'll see Christ. For Christ will be magnified through us and in us. And others won't see us, they'll see our Savior. And when Dr. Carey, William Carey, was coming to the end of his life, he had, perhaps we say, well, I think the father of modern missions, one of the greatest missionaries of all time, and God used him in a great way. Not during his lifetime, he saw very little fruit in human standpoint, but his influence has impacted millions to either go to the mission field or millions who have come to Christ from his work. And when he came towards the end of his life, he said, let not much be said of Dr. Carey, but of Dr. Carey's God. And he understood that his life was not about him and that he didn't deserve anything. It wasn't. He was doing nothing special. He was simply being obedient. David Livingstone said something similar. He said, people said, oh, you've sacrificed so much. His wife finally came to Africa, and the moment she stepped foot on that continent, she contracted a disease and died. He was attacked and lost movement in one of his arms by a lion. He was hiking through the forest and got stabbed in the eye by a poisonous thorn and lost most of his eyesight. And people said, you've sacrificed so much. You've sacrificed so much. And he replied, if we consider the command of a king an honor, why would we ever consider the command of a heavenly king a sacrifice? This is no sacrifice that I have done. It is simply my duty and it is my honor to be obedient to Christ. And I want to encourage each and every one of us this evening, and not just this evening, but for the rest of our lives, that every single morning we examine ourselves and we ask ourselves, are we following Christ? Whatever we're doing, whatever field we're in, are we following Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. God, I thank You for Beacon Baptist Church. God, for what this church means to me. God, for being truly a beacon and a light. And we are, as Your children, the light of this world. And I pray that each and every believer here would stand faithful for You, that they would follow You, and God, that we would be true witnesses of Jesus Christ. I ask that You bless this church now. Continue to help them to go forward for Thy name's sake. We love You now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.